Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So it's a couple ways to get your stories to us. The book is out right now, by the way, as well. Real Ghost Stories. It's the last part of it called Haunting Encounters Told by Real People.
Uh-huh.
There you go. I always forget that line. It's our book. So anyway, that is out now. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. And there, of course, is the digital versions you can get as well as the actual physical copy. So be sure to check that out. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm lovely.
That's good.
This is where you insert something exciting and amazing about your day.
About my day?
Whatever.
It's house cleaning day, so and, yay for that.
Yay, exciting.
Yeah.
I was just observing earlier, it's kind of funny because we had a caller on another episode, I think our last episode, where they said something real nice about the show. It's like, hey, you know, thanks, so you get me through my work day real quick, and you know, and it sounded authentic and real. And I was listening to, because it was real.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a local radio station here today, and it's just stellar radio. And there's those pieces between the songs you hear. They're called sweepers. That's a radio term. And it's just, it IDs the station. It's like, you know, Mix 108 or whatever the hell it is. And then there's usually like little clips of people sometimes talking about how much they love their radio station. And I love it because this one station, it's like, it's a weird eclectic mix of anything from like classic rock to light old music. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like it. There's some good songs in there. But the things between the songs are so overly enthusiastic, it's almost comical.
Yeah.
You know, you go from like one semi-light song, you're from like a lighter Peter Gabriel song into like Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then between it, it's like, I don't even know what the station is called, but you know, I'll just say it's Mix 108. I know it's not, but it's like, you're listening to Mix 108. Oh my God, I love this station. It makes me so happy. My workday just goes by so much faster when I listen to your station. Your morning show is hilarious. Number one, there is no morning show on the station.
Yeah.
Number two, it's like these, and they all sound like the average age of about 18, mm-hmm. the listeners. And there's no 18-year-olds listening to the station.
No.
I just love how horrible radio has gotten, where it's just like, we'll just slap some stuff together and make it sound like people are actually saying these things about our radio station, even though there's no feasible way they're doing it.
Right.
Oh, that's just me being a radio person. Does it strike you as, you know, someone who never worked in regular radio, does it sound as crazy as it does to me when you hear these things?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds very fake, but what gets me is when they use, you know, insert your enthusiastic listener.
Yeah.
And it's obviously from a different part of the country because they sound like, you know, they don't even sound like a local person.
That stuff, it's always driven me nuts.
And I know we've got people from all over here, but there's a very distinct accent too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, it's more like, I swear to God, it sounds like one of them's like from where you're from.
Mm-hmm. Up north.
Yeah.
In the south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where, sorry for my soapbox moment, but it just drives me nuts when I hear that stuff. I used to use those, and you can use them correctly. I've thought about using some that we actually get that are real, that I'm not even soliciting for.
Yeah.
In some promos. But I used to actually get them by having conversations with the listeners at the radio station, and then that's how you get real sounding ones. And other radio people would come to me and go, how do you get this to sound so real? Because they are.
Yeah.
All you have to do is talk to people.
Yeah.
You don't have to like get the canned service and put it together and it sounds horrible. Anyway, that's how that works.
Well, I don't think our radio locally is going to improve.
It won't. Sometimes it's just turn the transmitter off. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. First show of October, everyone.
Okay.
So welcome to the Ouija Awareness Month.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about more Ouija awareness throughout the month. So stay tuned. The more you know. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My name's Chelsea. I'm from Louisiana. This is not a story about myself, but it's about my family members. I'm not going to name their names because I don't want them any connection to their house or anything. But they actually moved into an old house. It used to be a plantation home probably 16 years ago. And anyways, the people that had been moved to nursing homes and the family like didn't come in and clean out anything, and there was laundry in the washer machine, and there was like everything was left, their belongings, pictures, and they asked the relatives if they wanted to come get anything, and none of the relatives would step foot inside the house. There's more stories than I can even tell, but I'll tell a couple real quick. But they still live there. But one in particular, I have three in particular I'm going to tell. One, they have a doorbell, okay, and the batteries are completely out. And my mother-in-law heard the doorbell ring, and she is a very Christian person, doesn't cuss or anything. And she said, oh, shit, and it rang again. And they went and checked, and there were no batteries in it whatsoever. Another story happened when they were in their bedroom and they woke up to the sound of, both of them woke up to the sound of a lady screaming at the end of their bed. They laid back down and tried to go back to sleep, and they woke up to the sound again. They ignored it and went back to bed. Then my father-in-law has seen apparitions, and all kinds of stuff has happened. Like, things have been misplaced. There's way more stories than I can even tell. And I'm going to get my father-in-law to write down a bunch of them, and I'm going to share them too as well. But I want to bring a paranormal team out there and investigate to see what's going on with property. But also, one other thing that's happened is they have a Victrola, which most people don't know what that is. That are like, I'm 30. Most people don't know what that is, but it's like a wind up. You have to wind it up. It's like a record player, but you have to wind it up and you have to open the lid and set the needle down on a record to make it play. And they've come home multiple times with that playing. I mean, they've had where their room is filled with smoke and then it just goes away. They've had lights come on and off. Chairs have been moved in their house, but like none of the spirits have like hurt them or harmed them. I think the creepiest thing was the screaming, but I probably have 100 stories from the house, and my husband's experienced stuff too, but
I think with a plantation, it's, you're just asking for a haunting because that wasn't the happiest place in the world to be.
No.
And, you know, for some people it may have been, but for a lot of others it was not.
Not at all, no. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even begin to know where to start with what it is that's haunting.
Anything from, you know, unhappy ghosts who were once human to just negative energy and, mm-hmm. and negative entities that found that to be a nice little nestling ground to hang out because of all of the dark energy mm-hmm. that that was created there. So, yeah.
You know, I know that there's all these big picturesque plantations people like to go visit. I have no desire to go visit any of those. No. At all.
No, it's just one of those weird things that we sometimes do with history where we look back on things and like romanticize things in places where it's like, this really shouldn't be romanticized.
No.
It's like poor decisions were made here.
Well, and I get that what's left are these big, beautiful
sure,
homes.
Sure.
And I can appreciate that. I mean, no, I love homes. I love sure. a lot of architecture and things like that, but just the energy is what keeps me away from it. I don't want to go do that.
Exactly. Where one side is like living in bliss and the other side is going through hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not something to be like celebrated. It's like, okay, it's part of history, but not necessarily like, ooh, let's celebrate, you know?
Yeah.
You know, this great part,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you're going to get weird shit happening.
Mm-hmm.
In places like that. Thanks for sharing the story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. It's Mr. Anonymous here from Sudbury. Last time I called in was about a year ago, actually. I've just been steadily working my way through the podcast and through the EPP episodes. I've almost been an EPP member for a year, and I love it. I love the extra content. And I love the bonus episodes. But I called in today because I don't think I've ever told this story on here. And I got to talking about it with my significant other, and it's probably one of the most concrete experiences that I've ever had with the paranormal. It was, I want to say it was back in 2013. Maybe 2012-ish. I was engaged at the time, and I was at my then fiance's house, and I think it was getting close to Halloween, and you know I'm mischievous, and I like to play pranks and play tricks on her, and so we were watching some scary movies, and I started telling her that I was like, I'm pretty sure your house is haunted. And of course, she looked at me and told me that I was being crazy and that just wasn't true and there is no way her house is haunted. And so, of course, for the next, you know, however long, I pretended like I was on an episode of, like, Ghost Adventures or something, or, like, Ghost Hunters. And every little noise I heard in the house, I was like, what was that? Did you hear that? I hear footsteps. That's a ghost. And, of course, you know, she kept, you're stupid. I hate you, you know. You don't know what you're talking about. And so I told her, I was like, well, you know what? Let's do this scientifically. And my idea of scientifically was to shut both the doors in her room, turn off the lights, and put my phone down on the dresser and then hit record, do a voice recording, and told her, I was like, we'll see if we capture any, any voices or anything like that. And, she was like, you're dumb, there's going to be nothing. And so, you know, the entire time I was just being so over the top and dramatic with it. She had two doors. One of them out of the living room opened into the room, and and straight across from it, as you entered the room, was another door that opened out of the room into like this little partition between her and her sister's room. And I shut that door and I pressed against it, and you know, I made this huge show out of it, you know, putting my hands and being like, this door is now closed. I jiggled the doorknob and pushed on it to make sure it was closed. And I put my phone down and I was like, you know, I did the whole spirits, if you wish to communicate, speak into my phone, and shut the lights off. And we walked into the living room and I shut the other door. And we sat down on the couch and, you know, for the next 15 minutes, I mean, every sound I heard. Every sound, the sounds outside that weren't paranormal in any sort of way, I reacted to. And, you know, the entire time she was like, you're dumb, you don't know what you're talking about. And after about 15 minutes, I got bored with it, and I just kind of laughed. I was like, now I'm just messing with you. So I stood up, and I walked across the living room, and I opened up the door, and I turned the light on, and my heart stopped. because across from me, the other door was open. And I froze. I froze in the doorway, and I felt my heart skip a beat, and I was like, no, that's impossible. I pressed on that door. I made a huge show of it, you know, and I know for a fact that that door was locked. And she was like, what? And I was like, nothing. I was like, don't worry about it. And I went and picked up my phone, and my phone was dead. And I was like, that's also impossible, because when I started the recording 15 minutes ago, I had, you know, 60% plus of battery life. I was like, that can't happen. So I went outside, and I got into my vehicle I had at the time, and I had a I had a very expensive sound system in it, and very massive. I was super into loud bass and all that fun stuff as you are as a kid. And so I plugged my phone into charge and gave it a few minutes, and it was completely dead. It actually took a few minutes for it to turn on the charger. And when I opened up the recording, had saved. But there was only roughly 9 minutes of recording. And I was like, you know, for a phone to die in 9 minutes, that's odd. And mind you, I was heavy into the paranormal thing back then, and still am. And of course, I knew that potentially when you have a spirit and a manifestation, it'll drain any source of energy that it can take from the environment, and you'll drain your batteries, things like that. So I was like, okay. So I was starting to put the things together, but I was still wanting to be skeptical, to say, no, that's not what happened. So I plugged everything in, and I hit play on the recorder. I went into my settings on my stereo, and I turned everything up. I turned the treble all the way up. I turned the mid all the way up. I turned the bass all the way up. And I sat there, and I listened. And, you know, you heard cars drive by outside. You heard the wind and things like that outside. And it was just a regular white noise until about, I want to say, the seven-minute mark, maybe 6.5, 7 minutes, when out of nowhere my subs kicked in my trunk, and I was like, that's really odd. I don't understand why it would do that. And so I sat there, and I listened to it, and it wasn't like just a long, drawn-out bass note. It was like a pulsing. It was just whoom, whoom, whoom. And I didn't understand that. I was like, there's no bass in the natural environment. I don't get it. And I thought, well, like, maybe it's a car outside. Maybe that's what I'm hearing. Well, as I continued to listen, it kept intensifying, and it got louder and louder and louder and louder until it just stopped, and I heard two heavy footsteps, just doom, doom, and then you heard the doorknob turn, and it's like somebody let it go, and it snapped back into place, and you heard the door squeak open and slide out, and then you heard a laugh. You heard an audible ha-ha-ha. And then you heard doom, 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 doom as it ran away. And I was blown away. I freaked out. I got her and I played it for her. And she was like, no, that's impossible. And I said, no, I mean, I was like, I didn't make this. Like, this isn't fake. This is real. This just happened. And so I played it the entire way home, just listening to it, trying to figure out, well, you know, maybe it was this or that. And I forgot to mention that when I found the door open, before I listened to the recording and everything, I walked through the entire house. There was nobody there. The house was empty. And I thought to myself, I was like, well, that's impossible. That can't happen. And when I listened to it, I mean, it just validated for me that yes, this happened. This was real. Something opened the door and left, but nothing ever happened in her home. You know, I'd been there so many times, and I had never experienced anything in that house. And, you know, never a bad feeling, never anything. And, I mean, I consider myself semi-sensitive to these things. You know, sometimes I walk into places, and I get an uneasy feeling, or, you know, when I'm around people, if they're really sad, I feel that. I've become incredibly sad and depressed, and, you know, it's almost like an empath, and I never felt anything in her home, anything. And I got home and I played it for my parents, and I said, well, what do you guys think? And of course my father was like, well, you when you shut the door to go into the living room, it caused a breeze in the room and it pushed the other door open. And I said, well, that's impossible, because by closing the door, I would have pulled the air to the door and that other door would have had to swing into the room, but it didn't. It swung out. It swung out of the room. And I was like, that's not possible. And we didn't go anywhere. You know, we sat on the couch in the living room and we didn't do anything for 15 minutes, you know. And I'm just kind of curious what you guys think about that. I'm kind of curious what that could have been. And what I'm really curious about is, if you concentrate hard enough that you want something to happen, you know, and even if you don't, you know, if you're playing it up almost as if inviting something to happen, if you do that hard enough, you know, can you invite something to happen like that in your home without meaning to? I guess that's my big question. But from then on, I never had any other experiences in her home. You know, after listening to that, she was a little freaked out, and I was like, well, it's time for me to go home. I love you. And that's probably why we're not engaged anymore, but I'm totally kidding. I'm just kind of curious. Thank you so much for having this fantastic podcast. You guys are so awesome. I love listening to all the stories and hearing your guys' take on it, and I hope you enjoy the story, and I hope this gets people excited for Halloween, which is the greatest holiday of the year. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think sometimes things are, you know, they're there anyway, but if you start playing around, like trying to invite something to happen or say something's going to happen, they're going to jump in and play along.
I think there's plenty of times where you can be messing around and absolutely nothing will happen. But if there is already something there, mm-hmm. it's kind of waiting in the wings. It's like, yeah, guess what? Guess the surprise visitor you get.
And, you know, I think a lot of times those are actually harmless ones. Those are just,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going to play along. Like, this was just footsteps and then somebody laughing.
Sure.
Literally playing along.
Yeah, they're just kind of getting a kick out of, oh, I guess I was invited out.
Mm-hmm.
And now invite me away.
Yeah.
Or push me away or ask me to leave. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing the experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Hi.
Hi. My name is Brooke. I am from Michigan. I was calling in to share a story with you that happened a couple years ago. So just a little background. I have lost both my parents, this one story being particularly about my mom. She passed away probably about 7 years ago, and she passed away from an asthma attack in my house that I grew up in and lived with my father in. So this one particular night, me and my husband lived with me, and my father for a little bit, just kind of help him out, and adjust to his new way of living. So we were living there and we were all, you know, it's one night we're sleeping, everyone's sleeping, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, of course. And all of a sudden I get woken up by a fire alarm. Smoke detector is going off in our house. And I got up instantly, ran to my door, bedroom door, and opened it, and they stopped. No one else woke up, and I don't believe it was the whole house. I think it was just the one right outside my bedroom door that was going off. And I instantly, I've had many things happen, so I instantly was like, haha, thanks, Mom, you know. You're a jokester. Thanks for turning on the smoke alarm to wake me up. So I went back to sleep, and then maybe a month or two later, the same thing happened. But this time, the whole house, and just to give you an idea, we lived in a three-story house, and our smoke detectors, too, are all battery-operated. They're not linked together, and all of our smoke detectors started going off, and this was about 3 o'clock in the morning again. And this time, not only me, but my husband and also my father, we all rush out of our rooms and we all kind of meet in the hall and we're like, what the heck? And me, of course, I am like, yep, that's Mom. But my father, I don't think he wouldn't necessarily say that. He was, you know, he was old school. He grew up Christian. He wasn't extremely religious and he didn't, you know. But I don't think that was his first thought. But he was also an engineer, and the next day he had, because of course he had to find the reasoning behind this and what had happened, the smoke detector in his room that's right above his bed on the side that he sleeps on, the battery inside of it exploded. And I know that spirits communicate with energy, and I kind of thought that was interesting and thought, you know, maybe that was a sign from my mom or something, and like a hello or a hi or I'm okay, because he took her death really hard. They were married for 35 years, and I think he held a lot of guilt when she passed, because he was an emotional person, so I think, you know, he felt really guilty when she left, that he didn't do enough for her. And I mean, she did a lot for him. She cooked, she cleaned, she made us breakfast every morning, packed us lunches, and she always had dinner on the table by 6-7 o'clock at night. And she also worked full time as well. And I think it was a real wake up call for him when she passed away. And, you know, living with him, I noticed things were kind of changing. He drank, you know, throughout his life. He was that kind of person. He would have a beer or something every so often, not really throughout the week, but, you know, on the weekends. But then I started noticing he was going to the UAW a lot after work, where he would come home smelling of alcohol, liquor, and that was kind of, like, scary for me, because I think he was trying to handle his emotions with substance. And I think, you know, I think that was a hey from my mom that I don't know. I never asked him if that's how he felt. But I think in the back of his head, I think he knew. So, yeah, that's my story. Let me know what you think. I really love your guys' channel. I've only been listening for probably a week or two. But it's awesome because, you know, you can sit there and explain to people these things that happen, but if they don't have it happen to them, they don't understand. So it's really cool to be able to share similar experiences with people that do have similarities or things that have happened to them. So thank you guys a ton. I really appreciate your show, and I love listening to it. Thanks. Have a good one.
I think that was the mom's way of saying, you know, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. Dad's going to, he's going to struggle with this.
Yeah.
But I am still here.
Just some like extra reassurance from a parent who would help, try and give you reassurance if they were there. But since they're not, mm-hmm. from the other side, mm-hmm. just pretty straightforward.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us here on the show. The phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online is 855-853-4802. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey, this is Carol Dowd from North Tonawanda, New York. I don't know if you remember, after my fourth submission, I had said that hopefully I wouldn't have to be calling you guys again with another story, but I was wrong, and this is actually my husband's story. This happened to him a little while ago. I had gotten up in the morning and was making some coffee and in the kitchen, and he came in and he's wandering around the living room, and I hear him go, "Honey," and I said, "What?" And he says, "Something weird happened. I was laying in bed and I couldn't move, and I couldn't move my legs or my arms or my head or anything. It was really weird." And I said, "Oh, that's just sleep paralysis. Don't worry about it. The neighbor has that." And I could just hear it in his head. He's probably thinking he had a stroke or something. So he sounded greatly relieved after that. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, usually you see something, so wait for it. And sure enough, about a minute later, he says, "Honey," I said, "What did you see?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, normally you see something when you have sleep paralysis." And he says, "Well, yeah. There was like this figure down at the end of the bed." And I said, "Was it, you know, the black man or a black mass or something like that?" And he says, "Well, no, it was kind of like, it was like a human-shaped sort of. And it looked like, I said, could you see through it? And he says, well, it looked like I could kind of see through it, but it was like looking through water that was moving. And I couldn't speak. And then I looked to the right of me, and he sleeps on the right side of the bed. He says, I looked to the right of me, and there's another figure, and it's standing right next to me. And I said, wow, that's pretty scary. And he says, well, yeah, I'm just wondering what they were. And I said, well, probably they were bad things. I don't think most things that come with sleep paralysis are good things. I said, did they say anything? And he says, no, they didn't say anything at all. And he says, I wonder if they were aliens. Now, this is the man who makes fun of me for believing in the paranormal, okay? He doesn't believe any of the stories that I told you guys at all. And yet he believes he's been contacted in the past by aliens, that these things in our bedroom might be aliens. So he said, I doubt they're aliens. I said, well, I would have loved to talk to them and see what they were doing here, what they wanted. I'm like, you know, I'm not even going to bother trying to tell him that he shouldn't be talking to things that he's seeing while he's, like, in sleep paralysis or anything like that. I just, it's useless because he doesn't believe anything that I have to say. So, anyways, it's the only thing that's happened to him, and he still even denies it. Like when I told the neighbors have had paranormal experiences in the past, and I told them, and he's just like, yeah, right. Because he, like, totally forbid me from telling anyone, but, like, yeah, good luck with that. So, anyways, that's my story number 5. Thanks, and I love your show. Hope to hear this soon. Thanks. Bye.
There you go.
Well, good for her for knowing what it was to try and help him.
And it doesn't necessarily mean there was anything paranormal there. It might have just been the sleep paralysis, mm-hmm. and that's what his mind was generating. I do find it amusing that he just goes to his own assumptions then of aliens uh-huh. and completely dismisses anyone else's, you know, thoughts or expertise or experiences. It's just, no. It's,
you know. But you know what? I mean, what I think that is, that part of it, is he already believed in aliens mm-hmm. and was already comfortable with that thought.
Sure.
So maybe that was easier yeah. for his mind to just stick with an explanation of something he already believes in
yeah.
versus, oh, now I'm going to wrap my mind around my wife actually being legit on her stories.
It's all about comfort with people like that. It's they have to be completely comfortable. I mean, somebody could, you know, it could be happening completely to someone in the next room and they're flipped out. And unless that person saw it, they're not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. It's like, whatever, it was the cat, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, it's a matter of, like, it's invading the comfort zone.
It is.
That's what it's all about.
And you have to be open to it.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't really open to it.
Sure.
He accepted sleep paralysis, but he wanted to link it to something he already knew
mm-hmm.
in his mind.
And made his peace with.
Yeah.
Until he makes his peace with the idea of the ghost. It's not, no matter what, it
right.
ain't going to be true.
Right.
Sounds like my dad. Very much sounds like my dad. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Bailey, and I just wanted to call in and tell you a quick story about an experience that I had at a movie theater that I used to work at. I worked at a movie theater all through high school and into college, but it wasn't until about my junior year that I became a manager. And so I would work by myself late at night. And the building was really old, just kind of had creepy vibes. I didn't like walking around, you know, at night with the lights off. So I'd always have the theater lights on, even when I wasn't in there. So there's one night I was working with another person. His name was Andrew. And we had a 7 o'clock showing, but in order to get the theater ready and all the popcorn ready, we had to get there at 5:30. They had two movie theaters. There was one on the ground level, and then the second theater was actually above it. And when the movie theater was actually built, the second floor used to actually be the balcony that looked down onto the first floor. But the people who own it now, they had turned it into a second theater. And when I was working there, we had used film, and we had to thread that into the projector, and then we would have to, you know, run up the stairs and start it manually for every show. And so I was threading the film up into the projector, and the film would sit on these giant platters to rewind the film back onto the platter. And I had looked into the doorway, and I saw a leg step up into the projector room. And I thought it was Andrew because we were working together that night. And so I had, you know, finished what I was doing and went into the theater because I thought Andrew was in there. And I'm like, hello, Andrew, is that you? And then I ran down the stairs after I realized he wasn't up there. And I had noticed that he wasn't downstairs either. And he actually ended up being 15 minutes late to work that night. And I still don't know what I saw, but, or, you know, who it was, but the foot, like the shoe had, it was a black and white wingtip shoe, and they were black and white pinstripe pants. And I remember it so vividly. And it turns out a couple weeks later, another coworker of mine was telling me the scary thing that happened to him. It was the same thing that had happened to me in the same projector room. And so we started doing some digging, and we found a picture of the man who actually built the theater back in the early 1900s. And in that picture, he's wearing the same shoes and the same pants that I saw and that my coworker Ian saw in the doorway. And so that was just really freaky. You know, because I'm not really a believer in ghosts, but, I mean, I can't really deny that one. But, yeah, that's my story. I hope you guys enjoy.
Can't argue with when you see the picture of the person who's haunting and you know that they're dead.
Mm-hmm. This adds a little confirmation to what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that's just the validation that you need to be like, did my mind just generate this, you know, random person?
No.
A random thought or whatever, and I'm just, you know, anxiety or whatever is screwing with me. No, that that kind of gives you a little more validation there.
Mm-hmm.
I love old theater stories.
I do, too.
Always good and creepy. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one with us. One more call for today's show. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Mary in Oxnard, California. I've called in a couple of stories. This one happened to me a couple of weeks ago. We were at one of our favorite little breakfast places, California, and I went to go use the ladies' room. And you walk in, and then there's a wall separating the restaurant seating area from the restroom. So you walk in, and you make an exact U-turn, and then you walk down this tiny little hallway to the restroom. At the end of the hallway on the right is the ladies' room. And, well, I got there. And I knocked on the door to make sure there's nobody in there, and nobody said anything. I turned the knob. It was, like, locked. And then I went, somebody must be in there. And so I kind of waited. And then while I'm waiting, I hear this, la-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, oh, it must be a kid. They're trying to say something, you know, didn't want to say anything. You know, they're scared. You know, they're taking care of business, and they're singing while they're doing that. La da 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 da, and then he starts talking to himself like da 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 da, you know, whatever. You can't really hear what they're saying. And then after a few more minutes, I knock on the door again, and then I hear this, and I'm gonna do it in the voice that it sounded to me. He goes, I'm in here, you know, just like maybe a 4 or 5 year old. I'm in here. Okay, I said, you know, and I'm waiting, and then I listen, and he looked at me, and I'm all, there's somebody in the bathroom. And he goes, okay, you know. And so I go back, and I knock on the door again, and then I turn the knob, and it opens. I'm like, whoa, that's weird. And then I, you know, took care of my business. I came, sat down, and my husband looked at me, and I'm like, I can't believe that just happened to me. And then the waiter comes over to us, and I said, do you have a ghost in here? And he says, yeah. And I go, what is it? And he says, it's a little boy. He runs around, and he hides. He plays peekaboo and everything. I'm like, no way. He was just in the bathroom, and he locked the door on me. He wouldn't let me in. He goes, yeah, he plays games like that all the time. I thought, oh, my God, this is weird. This is weird. But it was so fun. And, you know, just the fact that he knows that there's a little boy in there, he turns the lights off and on. He hides behind the booth there. And anyways, that's my story. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day. I love listening to you. You guys are like my brother and sister of EPP and ghost stories, and I appreciate everything you do, and I love listening to you guys. Have a wonderful day from California, Oxnard, California. Bye.
I think if it talks like a 4 or 5 year old, I think I don't know that I'd have the heart to ask it to leave.
Yeah, sometimes it's got to be like, hey, we can be buddies, but and then sometimes we get the stories of, and it acted like a little girl. Little girl pig named Jody.
Jeez.
In fact, just yesterday we were at a store, and Harper found a little pig, like piggy bank.
It's paint the piggy bank.
It's paint the piggy bank. A little craft. I said, go tell mommy you're going to name it Jody. So she did. She wanted, mommy, I'm going to name my piggy bank Jody. Jody tells me to do bad things.
You encourage this behavior, and she continues it because it makes you laugh.
I know.
Far beyond what is appropriate. So we're in the line, the checkout line at TJ Maxx, and she's talking about naming her new pig toy Jody that tells her to do bad things. So this was like, fine, you handle checkout. I'm going next door without you. Bye.
And the thing is, I don't think anyone in checkout got it or...
I don't know. You never know.
I told her to stop, and she stopped. But I'm just waiting for one day. It's like, oh, that's hilarious.
That child will say anything if it makes you laugh.
That's true. Good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the show. If you like the show, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our program, exclusive stuff there for you, brand new one every single week. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year, get 1 month free, then choose either a bunk bed bell, or you can request a phone call with us. We can hear your ghost story one-on-one. And then we may even use that call on a future episode of the program. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.